Greatest audience in the country. This is Joe Scott, Director of Pro-Life Colorado, sitting in for Bob Enyart. Bob is down in Colorado Springs working on a little court case he's got going there, along with my husband, Ken Scott, and his brother, Brian Enyart. So I am sitting in today for him. I think I have a pretty interesting show, but first I want to catch up on a couple of things. If you might remember, Bob had Shu Mei Wei and her interpreter on the show about a month ago, a little less than a month ago now. And she's the woman who the 10th Circuit Court wants to send back to China to be forcefully sterilized and fined beyond belief. Her children will have not be able to be educated, and they will be illegal to employ them when she goes back, because she has four kids and she's violated the one-child policy in China. So some really neat things have happened. She was on several radio stations and did some news, got some newspaper coverage, and we've got tons of response for her. In fact, Colorado Right to Life contacted Senator Tom Coburn. If you remember, Tom Coburn is the one that Bob talked about on the show maybe a week or two ago. Tom Coburn wrote a letter exposing what's going on in Washington, D.C. at the new visitor center. It's completely godless. It's completely godless, and they brag about it at the visitor center, which is horrible. And this senator had enough guts to expose it and complain about it. So he's a pretty neat guy. Well, he's also the senator in the state where Shu Mei Wei lives. And when he was contacted, they were swift to say, yes, we're going to help. So that was wonderful. And then just today, Colorado Right to Life was contacted by a benefactor out of the country who's willing to help not just Shu, but her husband and her kids to make sure that she can legally get asylum outside of this country and then come back into the country legal. So things are happening. People, don't stop praying for her. She needs it. Any minute, if that her case comes before the 10th Circuit Court, what happens is she has a petition in for rehearing. And if that goes before the court and they decide that they don't want to give her another hearing, even though it was her lawyer's fault for filing in the wrong court, that's why she's not getting asylum at this point. If they decide they don't want to hear her trial again or hear her petition again, they can take her out of the country and send her back to China today. It's horrible. So we need to continue to pray for her. I have a special guest with me today. I met her outside of Planned Parenthood. She was actually taking a young woman to Planned Parenthood, but she didn't know why. And that happens often at Planned Parenthood. I'll wave at a car, and they'll stop to talk to me, and the driver doesn't know any better. And they're like, no, we're not coming for abortion. And I know very well that the girl in the passenger seat has lied to the driver. And that's what happened with Colleen. But what happened next, Colina has just an unbelievable story, and I want you to hear it because it's inspiring, and it's also Planned Parenthood's worst-case scenario. If you were Colina in Planned Parenthood's eyes, there's no way you could be successful today. So I want you to hear her story. Colina, welcome to the show.
Thank you. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Colina, when you took your friend to Planned Parenthood, you had no idea that she was going for an abortion.
No, I didn't think it was that. She told me something totally different, that she was being screened for cancer.
She told you that she was being screened for cancer?
Yes.
Oh, wow. And you believe that, so I must have looked kind of nutty to you.
I believed it, yes. I felt I had no reason not to believe it, yeah.
So you took her in, but on the way out, what happened?
Well, I was coming out as you guys had approached us, and I wanted to get her to talk to you guys, but she wasn't really trying to hear that. So when I came out, I seen all these pictures of these innocent little babies being torn apart by doctors and that their life didn't matter. And I stopped. I wanted to know about it. And as I stopped, I spoke with you and another nice young lady, and she had a daughter as well, and I had my daughter with me. And you're explaining to me that it was an abortion clinic.
Yeah. Yeah, an abortion clinic where innocent little baby boys and girls have their arms ripped off every day. And you were pretty shocked.
I was shocked, but I think I was more saddened by the situation than I was shocked. I was really upset, sad.
Yeah, because they told you inside, how long was it going to be?
She said it was going to be 4 hours.
And at that point, you knew that she had lied to you.
I knew that, yeah, because I am a medical assistant. I worked in clinics before, and I knew that it wouldn't take, you know, longer than an hour.
Right. So I want to back up in your life to your teenage years, because this is where your story
yes.
starts when you're a teenager.
Yes.
You weren't a really easily controlled teenager, were you?
No, I was considered an out-of-control teenager and couldn't be reached.
Couldn't be reached by your mom?
I couldn't be reached by my mom, law authorities, any type of figures possible. I couldn't be reached.
You were just one of those tough girls?
Yes, I was very out of control. I did what I wanted to do, how I wanted to do it, and couldn't nobody tell me anything.
Oh, so did you end up in a foster home at one point or a home for girls, which came first?
I had originally ended up in a place called Children's Ark.
Children's Ark.
And I had went there from another place called Youth Track. And from Children's Ark, I ran away. And a situation happened, and I ended up getting put at Excelsior Youth Center, located in Aurora, Colorado.
And about how old were you then?
I was exactly about, when it first happened, I was 13, but by the time I was 15, when I ended up at Excelsior Youth Center, I was 15.
And at Excelsior, something happened to you that was just tragic.
Yeah. Well, before I had got to Excelsior, I decided I wanted to go on the run. I didn't want to be in placements. I didn't want authority telling me what to do, or I didn't want to go through any of that. So I was hanging out with the wrong crowd, and I had a mutual friend that was me and my sisters. There was a party one night, and he had put a pill into my drink.
Oh, wow.
And I was drinking underage and doing the things I wasn't supposed to, and I became pregnant.
Were you raped?
I was raped, and I was unaware of the whole situation. I didn't even know I was pregnant.
Oh, wow.
I didn't even know he used a date rape drug on me or anything.
Oh, so you've been to this party, you're pregnant, you have no idea.
No,
and now you're
I have
in
no idea.
Excelsior.
And then a week later, my mom found out where I was, and it's like, well, you're going to go to the placement. I think it's the best opportunity for you. So I go there, and I was there about close to 2 weeks, and that's when they start screening you for diseases or pregnancy, getting your health history, and I found out I was pregnant, yes.
That's how you found out, through the general screening that they do on all the girls that go into Excelsior.
Yes.
Oh, wow, that must have been shocking.
Yeah, I was shocked. I was confused and hurt. Yes, definitely.
I can imagine. So what did the Excelsior place advise you to do?
I'm sitting there going over my options, abortion. I mean, that's all I can really, really remember is abortion, abortion, and abortion.
Why? Why did they tell you you had to have an abortion?
They were giving the circumstances that I was under, seeing that I was out of control teenager. They said that if I do decide to have a baby, that my daughter, our son, wouldn't have a future by me. Or, you know, they were telling me that I would be a drug dealer. I'd be dead. I'd be in jail. I would be on the streets. I'd have like 20 more kids before I would turn 18 years old.
If you had this child.
If I had this child, that there was no way that I would make it in the future.
So they gave you no hope.
No ultimatums, no hope.
No alternatives. If you have this child, your life is over.
It's over.
And so did you have anybody in your family that was trying to help to support you?
Well, you know, I had a counselor, and her name was Judy. She was at Excelsior Youth Center, and she was talking to my mom, and she had convinced my mom because my mom wanted to back me up 100% of what I wanted to do. And she convinced my mom, well, you know, you should help your daughter, but we feel this is the best option. So I really didn't have too many people backing me up in the situation that I was in.
Right, because they decided that abortion was the best option for you, because I can imagine your mom was frightened because you're out of control and she can't control you, and she's putting you in one place after another, hunting for you on the streets, and now you're pregnant. So she's desperate, looking for hope somewhere.
Devastated.
And the hope they gave her was kill her grandchild.
That's the only hope, the only option that they wanted to present to my mom.
But looking back on it now, you realize that they... If you were to continue in your pregnancy, would you stay with that home?
No, I would have left it. They wanted me to stay there. If I would have terminated my pregnancy, I would have stayed there.
And therefore, they would have gotten money from the government for you.
Definitely. They were getting paid through the state and through my mom for being there, prorating her for being there.
So if you have the abortion, they continue to so-called educate you. Indoctrinate you with philosophies. But if you continue on with your pregnancy, they lose the financial gain that they get from you.
That's
6 months? Is that
That's
when
right.
you had to leave?
I had to leave, vacate. I could still go to school there, but I would no longer be a resident in that facility.
So they had a real incentive to keep you there and see your baby die.
Because
they get money for you being there.
Yes, they do.
And they don't want to lose their job.
No.
And they need their girls there?
That's right.
It's amazing. And you were 15.
I was
and they're
15
telling
years
you
old.
That you're no good. You're going to mm-hmm. have kids. You're 20 kids by the time you're 18.
Yeah.
And your child is going to be deformed?
She would have problems and speech impairments. And given my circumstances, she would be out of control. And it'd be the same cycle and scenario all over again with her life. Yes.
Wow. You know, this is where our culture has come to, all these counselors and these programs that can offer you death.
That's it.
But we have Jesus who offers us hope.
Life.
Life and hope. And they offered you nothing except for the death of your child and then, you know, oh, everything's going to be magically better then, when we
yes.
all know. So what did you decide? What happened? Tell me what happened after they told you that you have to have an abortion.
Well, we had went to a clinic. It was an abortion clinic. It was a Planned Parenthood clinic.
Yeah.
And the doctor, they took me there. They said, you know, this is your option. This is what's going to happen. We're not really going to talk about it. We're just going to get it over and done with.
Yeah.
And so they took me to the abortion clinic where I had to go to. And mm-hmm. when I went into the abortion clinic, I sit there and they go over all these options like, this is what's going to happen. You're going to.
So wait a minute. The doctor at the facility told you this is what's going to happen to you at, what's the name of the home again?
At Excelsior Youth Center.
So he told you, we're not talking about it. We're just taking you there and we're going to get it done.
Yes.
Okay. So now you're at the abortion clinic. What happens?
I was going over the options of the procedures of what they were going to do. And
which procedure they were going to do
yeah.
to kill the child?
Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were saying how far along I was. And at that point, I believe I was 16 weeks
oh, wow.
pregnant.
Wow. And 4 months.
Like after, you know, we went over all our options and they mm-hmm. waited that long.
Yeah.
I was approximately 16 weeks. And they said, well, this is what's going to happen. We're going to suction the baby out. We're going to give you some medication and everything's going to be great and fine. And, you know, I started thinking like, you know, I don't want this. I'm not going to do this in the back of my mind. And I sat there for a while and they got me ready.
Yeah.
They cleaned me up and et cetera. And they were getting ready to perform. And I was telling the doctor, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. And I let them know this is not going to happen to me. Not today. Not ever.
Yeah.
And I
were
mean,
were they agreeing with you, or were they trying to convince you that you needed to go through
they,
the abortion?
They were trying to convince me. They were trying to keep me there to
really?
Get it over with.
Yeah. So what
yes.
did you end up doing to get out of there?
I raised chaos.
Did you?
Yes.
How?
Because I was yelling, I was screaming, I was letting them know, I'm not going to do it. You can't force me. I'm leaving.
Wow.
And they were... I was hysterical. I don't think I was at a point to be calmed down at that point in that clinic.
So you decided, something deep within you said no.
God.
Said no, I'm not killing this baby. Why?
I didn't give that life. I have no right to take it under any circumstances. And I felt that for some reason, there was a reason for me to be pregnant.
And so you decided that you were going to protect your child.
That's
right. You had no idea how you were going to do it.
No, I
didn't.
But
you decided you were going to do it.
That's right.
And they eventually relented and let you out of there.
Yeah, eventually, after a good half an hour, 45 minutes, what I could recall.
Of arguing with them?
Of arguing with them and going back and forth. They said, you know, you need to really think about this and you're going to hurt your child, you know, by bringing the child into the world and you have no foundation, solid foundation.
Isn't it amazing you're going to hurt your child? They're about to rip
your child's
arms and legs off, but they're not going to hurt your child. You are.
Yeah.
And you're a child yourself.
That's right.
That's been raped.
That's right.
Oh, my goodness. They didn't care one bit about you.
No, not at all. I mean, it was a financial standpoint from their end.
Yeah, now you know that. Then you didn't.
No, I didn't know.
You're 15 years old. I can't imagine being 15 years old. I was a goofy 15-year-old girl. I didn't even know much about life. But to have adults filling my head with that kind of fear. You're
going
to have a handicapped baby. You're going to be a drug addict. You're going to be dead at 21. You know, if you don't do this, and, you know, you're, even though you were a really radical, bratty kid,
yeah,
adults, you still look to adults like they have some kind of wisdom.
Yeah, some kind of sense of direction that you didn't have.
Right, but yeah, unfortunately, they didn't give that to you, did they?
None whatsoever, no hope, no anything, no thought pattern for me to go off of.
Just no foundation.
None. No support whatsoever.
Either do this or your life is over.
That's
and that's,
it.
You know, Kalina, that's what abortion does. Abortion tells women that they are weak. That
that's
no matter,
right,
you're in a tough situation, your circumstances aren't going as well as you would like, well, let's kill somebody.
Yeah.
And your situation will be all
It'll
better.
It'll go away.
Now, what were you afraid of if you killed your baby?
Number one, it does say in the Bible, thou shalt not kill.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt that, you know, I'd be judged by God first and foremost of any kind of judgment I could have is the worst.
Yeah.
Then I thought about, you know, what would the child look like? What would the child be? What would happen? You know, I felt that if I've done that, I would never know, you know, and I felt that I would have to live with this the rest of my life knowing that it was on my authority that this happened, that this child was not brought here, not born, not deceived, not anything.
Right. And so those are pretty sane thought patterns for a 15-year-old brat.
Yeah.
You know?
It was scary.
I have to tell you, folks, she doesn't look like a brat now. I'm just telling you right up front.
Thank you.
So you get out of the abortion clinic and go back to the Excelsior home?
Yes.
And then you're there till 6 months?
Yes.
And somewhere along the line, you had to make a decision whether or not to keep your child.
Yes.
And what did you do?
Well, I decided that I wasn't going to go through with the abortion and that I was going to keep her physically with me. And they entered me into a foster home.
Yeah.
And when I went to the foster home, the parents, they seemed like they were really great people when I went there. But it turned out they had a lot of issues going on within the home, and there was another young lady there, and she had a baby, and her daughter was pulled from the home. I mean, it was a lot of things going on, and they felt that I shouldn't be around her, that I, again, wouldn't be a good parent, and they took her away from me, and I fought for close to 2 years to keep her with me. In other words, they felt that the baby would be in danger because I called social services on the foster people.
No.
Because when I was in school trying to get an education, she was on the ground and kids were trampling her. Like, a great deal of things were going on. And that's the only thing I felt that I could possibly do in it. They flipped it around on me and they tried to take her permanently from me. And I fought close to 2 years to keep her. And then I just decided, hey, you know, I know they're going to take her from me. And the people who had adopted her out, they were really great people, you know, and they believed in God and they knew how to give her morals and values that I couldn't provide at
that
time. So
the family that actually got your daughter were good people.
They're great people.
And they gave her what you felt you couldn't give her?
Yes.
I don't want to put words in your mouth.
Oh, well, you know, at that age, you know, you're still young-minded. You're immature. You don't really know where life begins and it ends because you're young. You have no knowledge of the world. I mean, you can understand some things, but not totally everything. And
right.
I didn't know how to provide because, number one, you know, you can't really get jobs, you know, at that age.
Right. 17?
Yeah. 17, 18, yeah. I still was in high school. I had graduated when I was 16, but, you know, I was 15 years old, and, you know, I hadn't graduated high school. I didn't have any job stability. I didn't have a home. I was looking at my past track record, and I felt this was the best option for her, is to let her go on and be with these people.
So, Kalina, when you let your baby be adopted,
yes,
did it hurt?
Oh, it killed me, yeah. It hurt me in a way, not as far as like killed my spirit or anything like that, but it hurt inside because, you know, I wanted her. I wanted to be with her. I loved her. But I knew in a way it was the best thing for her. I had to put aside my feelings and to understand that this is the best thing for her.
Well, Kalina, that's what a good mother does. She doesn't worry about her own feelings. She does the best thing for her child, even if it kills her.
That's right.
And that's what you did. And even at 17 and 18, you had the instincts to do that for her. Now, how do you feel about it?
I mean, looking back on the situation, I'm happy because I know that she's in a better place. I mean, I'm sad at times because I do miss her more than anything in the world, but I know just knowing that she's in a great place, she's with a great family, I can go on, you know, and I can live life, and I know one day, when she gets older, she will come back to me and say, hey, you know, my mommy did the best she can possibly do. And because of me, she will have a better life because I couldn't give her those options.
And what do you think the abortion would have done to you?
It would have destroyed me. You know, looking back at it, I can't live with that. You know, it would make me depressed. It would hurt me emotionally. I'd feel that, you know, it's wrong. It's a sin. You're killing an innocent person that can't even speak out, that can't say anything, that can't do anything.
You know, folks, I'm sitting here across the room from Kalina, and to look at her now, you would never for one second think that she was a rebel. You would never think that she was like the worst kid on the block. You wouldn't. You would never. Look at her. She looks sophisticated, beautiful, happy, well-adjusted, beautifully dressed. You would never think this kid ran the streets. This kid ran from home to home. She drove her mother absolutely insane. You would never know it. And that's because she turned to where there's hope. And that was found where?
Through Christ.
That's right.
Through Jesus Christ. That's
Jesus
it.
Christ. That's where the hope is. The hope isn't at those stupid abortion clinics. It's not there. You're not going to find one thing at an abortion clinic other than despair. You're not going to find one thing other than despair in the death of your child.
That's right.
You have to understand, Kalina is Planned Parenthood's worst case scenario. They look for kids like her and say, look, we'll help you. We'll help you put your life back together. All you have to do is kill your baby today, and you're going to have a wonderful life. Well, Kalina did just the opposite. She didn't take their advice. She fought off all the adults in her life. She clung to Christ, even though she didn't even know him back then. She knew of him and what he said. She clung to him, and she made one right decision after the other. One right choice after the other. And she's pulled herself together, and she has a good, solid job now. She has a fiancé. She's doing wonderful in her life. Are you addicted to drugs?
No.
You're not? You should
not
be.
At all.
You should be. Planned Parenthood says if you have your child, you're going to be addicted
That's
to
right.
drugs. Are you poor?
No.
You're not poor?
No,
oh, come
not
on.
At
you
all.
Must be poor. You didn't
not
abort
at all.
Your baby. You must be poor.
Not at all.
Really? Do you rob stores?
No.
Hang out with kids in the street?
No.
You're not a kid anymore, though, are you?
No.
Of course not. You have proven the spirit of women is strong. And when women make up their mind that they can do something, they can do it. They don't
need
to murder anybody to do it.
That's right.
And you've done it. And just the fact that you're here today and telling your story, Colina, is fabulous, because you're not just going to help people. You will inspire girls in the same situation that you're in. They're sitting in a situation that you used to be in right now, listening to this radio show, thinking, I don't have anywhere to turn. Turn where? To Jesus.
Turn to Christ. Turn to Christ. I mean, the best advice that I can offer, you don't have to go through with it. Don't allow these people to do this to you. Get help. There's help out there. There's so many people that want children out there that can't have them. Don't take an innocent life. You didn't give it to them. Don't destroy it. You don't know what can happen. You don't know why Christ put that kid in your life. Don't do that. It's wrong. It's morally wrong. And then you're going to have to live with it the rest of your life. And then when Judgment Day comes, you're going to have to live with it even then. There are so many options out there. Please explore them. And, you know, and there's nothing wrong with being a young parent.
No.
Just be focused.
Be focused. Make good choices. You may have made really lousy choices till today. Make today the first day that you make a good choice.
That's right.
And tomorrow the next day that you make a good choice. And the day after that, another good choice. And life starts pulling itself together, doesn't it? You've seen
That's
it
right.
happen.
I've seen it happen with me.
I know. I know, and it's amazing. There has to be more young women out there like you whose stories need to be heard, because we always hear the tragic, oh, if I didn't get an abortion, Planned Parenthood comes up with these goofy stories about how better life is after
That's
murder.
Right.
How could that be? How could that be? And you told me earlier when we were talking that you thank God for that little girl that you put
up. I thank
up.
God. She is beautiful. She is a blessing.
And she's a joy in your heart now.
She is. I mean, she's so beautiful. She's talented. She does so many things. She's 8 years old now.
She's 8.
And
what's her name?
Her name is Victoria.
Hi, Victoria. Well, we'll give this to her when she's 18.
Definitely.
She can hear her mom talking about her when she was 8. But, you know, Colina carries joy when she thinks of her child. Not a burden. Not despair, not guilt where she doesn't even want to think of that day. She wants to forget it, and it's always pounding at the back of her mind. She carries great joy because she did the right thing. She gave life to her child, and they gave her child to a family who couldn't have one. What better gift can you give to anyone? So, folks, I want you guys to pray for Colina, thank God for Colina, and pray for little Victoria. Don't forget, Maranatha Christian School, one of the best Christian schools in Colorado. Contact them. Get your kids enrolled. They are fabulous.